Purchase new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts today and we'll install them for free. See better and drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Leadership Leanin', where we lean in to the subject of leadership. We are not experts. Someone was asking me recently, do you do Leadership Leanin' because you're so good at leadership? And the answer to that is no. The answer is we just want to get better. We want to get better at our leadership. And we believe anything that you lean into leans back into you. And so we want to do our best to get as much knowledge, as much information, as much understanding. The reality is that all of us make decisions out of our understanding. What you understand, then you can decide. And so we are bringing in guests and talking about important subjects on the matter of leadership. And I think you're really going to like today's episode. By the way, if you can, get online and make sure on YouTube or on iTunes, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Comment, let us know what you thought about it. If you loved it, let us know. If you didn't like it, we'd love to hear how we can improve. And we want to do our best to create a platform and a discussion for all of us to get better as leaders. One of my favorite sayings is that when the leader gets better, everybody gets better. And so we're going to get better today. We have some special guests on the episode today. I don't know if I should call it a podcast or an episode. But on today's program, like, make up your mind, man. Is it a program, an episode, or a podcast?
Works.
On the episode program today, we have one of my favorite people, Drew Smith, is with us today. He leads the worship at our church and is a terrific leader. And he's going to be talking to us about relationships. That's the subject matter today. And then I have a couple that is on. So, you know, Drew can kind of say whatever he wants today because his wife's not here. She's about to have a baby. These guys, well, they're on the hot seat.
I'm in the hot seat. Yeah, let's be honest.
That'd be great. Are you kidding me?
Roman, it's a party. And Erica Bosco.
Yeah.
Erica, who we glowingly refer to at Leadership Leanin' as our Sissany, who is, that's a joke for all the Ryan Seacrest fans out there. I feel like my joke just bombed. Yeah. But Erica is our reoccurring guest. You've kind of yourself into like a reoccurring role. Yeah. You are the co-host.
Yeah.
What are other? I'm trying to think of other programs where someone like just kind of was reoccurring. Then all of a sudden it's like, wow, they're there all the time. Catherine Schwarzenegger was telling me the other day. She stopped by the Today Show and they were like, "Hey, I think it'd be really cool, you know, if you just got on, you know, everybody'd love it, you know, because you're here with your mom," and she did so well. They brought her back, and I was like, "You know what's going to happen here? You're going to have a reoccurring role."
She is
like Erica Bosco. Roman, this is your first
time. Proud of you, babe.
I'm so proud of you as a family. But thank you so much for coming on, Roman, who is a massive creative genius in my personal opinion, and has been such a huge part of branding our church, marketing our church, social media of our church, merch of our church, and is a great husband, and that's why he's here on today's Leadership Lean In. All right, so today's subject matter is, and we're having a conversation around the idea of relationships, probably one of the most important subjects to talk about, whether you are single or married. I always think it's interesting when we talk about relationships, a lot of people immediately think of single people. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that our life is filled with relationships.
Right. Yeah.
I have a relationship with my wife. I have a relationship with my children. I have a relationship with my parents. And the goal is obviously to have healthy relationships. One of the things we always talk about is that you cannot have healthy relationships if you're not healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Healthy relationships are made up of healthy individuals. I think that's why we're always trying to get better as leaders, is because as I really focus on my health, it affects my whole world.
Yep.
Yeah. My self-view, which determines how I can interact with others.
Yeah.
So when it comes to relationships, Druda, that's one of my favorite nicknames to call you. Hey, people that are tuning in, one of the best nicknames we have discovered in a while. is Druda Smith. Yeah. Drew, you and your wife, by the way, congrats. You guys are going to have a baby here in
this
pretty
week.
Soon. This
Quick.
Week.
Woo! Quick.
Hey. Baby number one.
Yeah.
Are you so excited?
So excited.
It's, yeah, life it's starts insane. When you have your first baby.
Here we go.
So you guys got married when you were how old, you and your wife?
We got married young. We were high school sweethearts, so we got married at 18.
Wow. That is
and,
awesome.
And yeah.
How far after you graduated from high school did you get married? Like how many months?
We it's kind of I was homeschooled, so like
I was really trying to figure out
what was taking so long. Because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this graduation's is June,
that
bro.
That was amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like, it's just got to be like
Technically a couple months. But I mean, really.
That was the most homeschool Arkansas moment I've had with you right there.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Got to
pause for a moment or two.
Oh, man.
So you get married at 18 years old. Yep. And when you got married, were you just thinking like, wow, what just happened?
She had me, man. Yeah, we met in junior high and just kind of dated all through high school and she was the one, I guess.
Yeah. let's not go with I guess. She was the one.
Taylor, you're the
period.
One.
Period. Taylor is the one.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you guys have been married for how many years total then?
5 years.
5 years. Yep. And I would like to kick off our conversation around this idea because I think one of the things that makes healthy relationships and one of the keys to all relationships is the power of forgiveness.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially in the context of marriage. How have you had to learn how to forgive and what are some keys that you have applied to your marriage to go, I you know, because the person that can hurt you the most is the person that's closest to you the most. Mm. And a lot of times then one of the keys to a great relationship is going like, I refuse to hold on to offense. I refuse to, you know, keep what the Bible says, love keeps record of no wrongdoing. Mm. How have you 5 years in been able to maneuver and work through forgiveness?
Trial and error, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes time. It takes, I think, you know, we've been together for a long time. You know, we've been married for 5 years, dated for 4 years before that. So we kind of really knew each other for a really long time. So I think, you know, we grew really close. And I think you kind of, the more you learn the person, the more you realize, oh, like we really support each other in these other ways where you might have a weakness, I might have a strength, where I might be more patient, you might not be. Or you know, in different areas of our relationship and our marriage, I think we've really found like, you know, specific areas, like I'm going to be more patient in this area because I know this is something. I think when you learn somebody and you really are building that relationship and you're becoming more intimate and closer in that relationship, I think you make space and you make room for that person to grow in certain areas.
Mm.
And that's been a big thing, I think, for us is recognizing those things and not just being forgiving, but helping, you know, push each other to grow. And, you know, she's helped me grow more than anybody in the entire world.
Sure.
This is this obviously marriage is the biggest key relationship that pushes me to grow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, her supporting me in the areas and calling me out sometimes and being forgiving in the moments that I need it and vice versa. I think that's been everything.
Yeah.
Taylor strikes me as like one of the kindest people in the whole world. She's very godly. She's very sweet. I can't imagine her getting upset at you because you are also such a kind person.
I don't really do anything wrong. So.
You don't ever do anything. You don't ever make mistakes.
We don't really fight. Yeah.
But I can really, you know, get a visual of you getting upset with her, like saying that, you know, like what? No, I'm kidding. I think that the reality is that when you throw two humans together.
Yeah.
With their unique makeup and their unique background, is that there's going to be some things that you got to work through. And I always feel like marriages do well when you do what you just said. You go, mm-hmm. there's room for you to grow here. I'm not going to hold you at the place that you are.
Right.
I'm going to believe in the person I see you becoming.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. We've talked and we've said we're here to build each other up and we're here to recognize and grow together and find those things. We want to be better down the road than we are now. And to do that, we have to find those things and be honest and caring and forgiving and gentle in the way mm-hmm. that we talk to each other and communicate with each other. And we see the best in each other. We see the potential and where we
can. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. You know, and if you lose that belief, that vision,
right.
that ability to see the good, then that's when I think people start getting really negative mm-hmm. and critical yeah. mm-hmm. and seeing one of my favorite quotes on relationships is constant criticism creates constant insecurity.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
So
when
true.
Someone's always criticizing you, it just makes you insecure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the internet. That's social media.
Yeah.
When someone's always criticizing you, it yeah. makes you feel insecure. You, the place that you should feel the safest to be your real self mm-hmm. and not have to decorate your life. And, you know, right. we live in a society of a lot of image management where I'm managing an image. My safest relationship is with my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
The my guard is down and this is the real me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm accepted for who I really am. That yeah. I mean, that's how I can really grow.
Right.
We talk about all the time your authority is in your authenticity. Mm-hmm. That's all of your relationships. Mm-hmm. The authority that you have in your relationships at home, especially with your spouse, it comes from being authentic, from yeah. being real. And so that is so well said. And I can see that out of you guys that you believe in each other
yeah. Yeah.
and champion each other. I love that. Now you guys is the same. I love that about you guys that you believe in him.
Yeah.
And he believes in you. And you're one of my favorite Russians.
Thank you.
Even though you are Ukrainian.
Ukrainian, but Roman the Russian sounds
it just right. yeah. it just yeah. sounds good.
It flows nice.
And so how about you guys? So you guys have been married now
six years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a great wedding.
Yeah.
You got married in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yes. Right kind of close to where the head of Starbucks is. Yes.
Yeah, like down the street.
Yeah, Starbucks mm-hmm. headquarters. So you know it's blessed.
Yeah, of course, yeah. yeah.
It's a blessed union.
It was
good. How have you guys had to work through and learned how to forgive?
Yeah.
Some people just like forgive and forget. It's
yeah.
like, I always marvel at them. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Others, it's like, I got to really work and make the decision.
Yeah.
How have you guys grown in that, in the area of forgiveness?
Well, I think forgiveness is sometimes a process. Sometimes it's really quick. Sometimes yeah. it's really easy. But I think kind of what Drew said a little bit, but always remembering the best in the person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I think to me, the biggest thing is remembering where I'm at. Like, I think, you know, you were saying like the person that can hurt you the most is the person that's closest to you.
Yeah.
And I think when we're really close to each other, we can get comfortable and then our perspective can start to get kind of, we could lose perspective on who we first married. So I think like always realizing, number one, who am I? Where am I coming from? Like, I'm a flawed person.
Yeah.
I need forgiveness. I need that extra measure of grace all the time. And then at the same time, never getting comfortable with who yeah. you decided to spend the rest of your life with.
Because
that security of that relationship also can allow you to say things that you wish you would never say.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So I think married 6 years, like knowing I need forgiveness all the time first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
always reminding myself on who I am. And always remembering Erica completely at her best, because you do get to see all sides of a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And that relationship is so special. I don't think there is no other relationship like that.
Right.
But always remembering Erica at her best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing where I'm at, where I need grace, where I need forgiveness as well, and then believing and championing right. the best.
Yeah, that's so good.
So it's like also the forgiving part, but also just like doubling down on the encouragement.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you're better, okay. you're amazing, you got
yeah.
this. Like
yeah.
I forgot what we were talking. We recently saw a post on Instagram, one of our friends posted, about kids and how it takes them like 3 hours to recover from like a parent lashing out on them or something like that.
Mm.
So they can be fine like 30 seconds later, but actually like their mood doesn't change for 3 hours. And they're talking about how if you do a correction or give a correction to a child, how much more positive things you have to say.
Yeah, great.
And I think that's like also that's the part that I'm getting at. The forgiveness, I think, is like a decision. It's not
yep.
so much a feeling. Sometimes you might not feel like forgiving, but making that decision and then also doubling down on like, I'm gonna encourage
yeah.
the heck out of you.
That's
like
so
I'm
good.
Just gonna yeah. tell you you're amazing, because I know in this point nobody wants to hear
yeah.
anything else, because
yeah.
we know when we mess up.
Right.
We know when
I always think there's no worse guilt than parent guilt.
Yeah.
And there's no worse guilt than like letting your spouse
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's very like true. You didn't like leave the party on time with them, or you didn't text them back in time, or you didn't. I remember in Julie and I, in our first year of marriage, I'll never forget one time I was paying the bills then. What were we thinking?
Wow.
This is like 3 months into marriage, and I forgot to pay the water bill.
Oh no.
So she comes home one day and she couldn't take a shower because I have forgotten to pay the water bill. And I'm like, well, the bills just changed that now.
Yeah.
And just that feeling of guilt. I think, you know, we want to do everything we can mm-hmm. to do what you guys are saying, and that's champion the other person. Yeah. And I always feel like that makes people feel so safe.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You get the truest version of someone. You know, our words are so powerful, and sometimes when there's conflict and there's stress in a home, in a marriage, then that can make someone feel their walls are up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. 'Cause you lose trust.
Yeah. Right.
But trust is built through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key values in leadership I always think is I can't hold on to offense because it will break my stride.
Right.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness in a marriage, so you hold on to that bitterness, that could cost your marriage
yeah.
months,
yeah.
years, because you got bitter, and you see it happen in people.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's a decision mm-hmm. you make, and you'll practically walk it out, but it's like, I can't afford our house.
Yeah.
Right. Can't handle this energy. Our house yeah, yeah. can't handle this friction. Our kids, our world. I've got to be the bigger person here mm-hmm. and get over whatever happened, work through it, and forgive.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on it for you, Erica?
Marriage teaches you like a lot about yourself, like they both said. But I think forgiveness has a lot to do with forfeiting the right to be right.
Mm.
I think like we're both youngest. Children in the lineup.
Wow.
So you can imagine, like, we both like our way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes in an argument or whatever the situation is, it's acknowledging fault on both sides.
Mm.
And you have to exercise grace
yep.
and exercise forgiveness and exercise like letting go of the right to be right for the sake of the unity of
yep.
the family,
mm.
of the friendship, of the marriage. Of
yep.
Sometimes it feels good to be right, but it doesn't feel yeah. good to be disunified.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that feels horrible.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather let that go and create space for more of a safe conversation
yeah.
than be right.
Yeah.
Like it's not worth it.
No, it's just not worth it. That's okay. Yeah. Especially as a husband, it's like you could be right, but you can make the other person feel so small
yeah.
and so bad. It's like right. you won, but you lost.
Yeah. And everybody,
you lose. Everyone
yeah,
loses.
Everybody loses. Yeah.
yeah.
Cause as we know, happy wife, happy life. Four kids in, and that saying is more true today than ever yeah. before. I want to talk about creating a healthy relationship, creating a healthy marriage, creating a healthy home. You know, that's kind of our whole life as leaders is yeah. trying to create health.
Mm-hmm.
Health again always starts with me.
Yeah.
I cannot go like, well, she's really healthy and she's doing good, so that in turn, our home's going to be mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
It actually is 100% dependent upon me and her to both be healthy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it's important to always sit down and go, how you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how you feeling? What's going on? Talk to me. Do you feel good right now? Are you worried? Are you pressed? Are you concerned? Is there anything bothering you? Those checkups are so important because basically what you're asking is, are we healthy?
Yeah.
What are some habits that you guys create? We'll go back to you, Drew. What are some habits that you guys create or some things that you do that create health? And I'll say that if you don't do these things, you can tell it can turn toxic or it can turn bad, turn negative pretty quick.
Sure. My wife loves to talk. And I'm an
introvert.
And you're an introvert.
No one listening can relate.
I feel like I'm like intruding on like a guy conversation, but just like making sure I'm speaking for the wives.
You're like, that's right, I do. I mean, yeah, she does. Like,
well, I wake up in the morning and I need like 3-4 hours to wake up. Whoever wakes up in the morning, she's like,
that'll change
that baby,
really fast.
That baby's about to
she's
change.
Going,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Friday's changing.
I've, in the last 5 years of marriage, I've worked in getting better at, just coming home and giving her my full attention.
That's great.
And just knowing each other's needs, knowing each other, you know, giving her my attention, giving her my time. Maybe, you know, at the end of a day, all I want to do is go be in my head and be introverted. But that's the biggest thing is not just hearing her, but making her feel heard and being there for her, I think has been the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's such a tension, right? Like we instill it into our kids that our guests get the best. And we kind of live in this world where it's like we're actually more kind to people on the outside. We're more engaged to strangers and like coworkers than we are to our spouse.
Right. Yeah.
Than we are to the people that matter the most. That's something that I've really been challenged as we as I get older and I give away that, you know, sometimes I can come home and, you know, just want to watch SportsCenter. Or, you know, just want to just scroll on social media and just kind of just check out. And I know that if I do that, I'm saying yes to my needs.
Right.
But I'm saying no to hers. And that can create a distance. Where, you know, the thing about marriage is that you don't want to go a couple months without a check-in. You know, it just kind of like just has to happen in the flow, in the lifestyle. How was today? How are you feeling today? And not going like, oh, everybody out there is going to get my best, but everybody in here is going to get the worst version of me. That is creating a toxic environment and that will create a lot of unhealth. What are some things that you guys do, you know, to create health in your house and in your marriage?
Yeah, I think one thing, first thing that came to my mind was, recently we started cooking at home. Which I
so
love
responsible.
Cooking.
Like, that is great.
Financially, it's great. But also, like, I'm a creative. I'm just, I used to want to be a chef when
what
I was a little
make?
Kid.
What do you make? Tell me. I didn't know this
everything.
About you.
So,
really?
Yes.
Everything.
Tell me more.
We
when am I getting
cheat,
my
though.
Invite?
Yeah, we cheat because we do, like, the LA thing where you get, like, a bag.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Smart.
Green
smart.
So we get, yeah,
hey, that's
we get
fine.
Three
that's
meals
fine.
A week. And
you cook it all.
And I always cook.
But you
I love it. I want to cook. So I'm like, she asked me the other day, do you want to cook? I'm like, no. This is I love it. Like, I'm in the kitchen. Her and Mila are hanging out.
That's so fun.
But I think in that, like, yeah, just learning to unplug. We've, like, I don't know. It was probably over a month ago. We had a really busy season and time. And we noticed that we would come home. We'd put Mila, you know, we'd hang out as a family, hang out with our daughter. And then we'd turn on the TV and we'd, you know, I'd watch SportsCenter, then we'd watch a show. And that stuff's fun and exciting, but we had one of those check-ins.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know what? Like, we need to stop doing that. Like, we need to unplug and have our time as a couple, especially with a kid. I think the main thing is us, because if we're not good, then our family's not going to be good. Mila's not going to get our best together as a unit. So doing dinners together and we even do... We try to do highs and lows of the day, which I know that's, we took that from you guys. And we always ask Mila, what's your high and low?
She doesn't talk yet.
Yeah, no.
She doesn't care.
Yeah. So doing that, but also trying to be more intentional on like turning, you know, don't turn on the show, don't turn on TV, but just turn on some music and just
hang out.
If, even if we have to do something and we do it and put it down, we don't get distracted by another screen in front of us.
Yeah.
But just unplug and kind of hang out.
Yeah.
The other night I came home and you know, the kids finally went down to bed and I sat down with Julia and I just, you know, asked her how she's doing and we ended up talking for like an hour or so. And at the end of it, she goes, thank you so much for talking to me. No, it was just like, oh my God, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
But do you not feel like I was just like, it would, but it was came from this genuine, sincere place. Like, hey, thank you. I don't think I would have slept good. I don't know how I would have felt about the circumstance and where we're at and my life and everything that's going on had we not just talked for an hour and just talked through what's going on and our kids and the world that we're in and, you know, so on and so forth. But I think it is that effective.
Yes.
That literally your spouse, your significant other goes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for paying attention to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me your undivided attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. Erica, what about you?
I think a lot of what Roman was talking about too was going back to like cultivating our friendship.
Yeah.
Like we were the greatest of friends when we were dating. Like that's what we always loved about each other. And I think we do ministry together. We parent together. Like we do a lot. We work a lot together. We've always worked together. And so we can slump into like, we're going to work on this thing in the office and then we're going to go home and work and then we're going to put me down and then go to bed. I think just that intentionality of like, how was your day? And like, what did you think about the Lakers? Yeah. Like me, like talking like normal people to each other. Yeah. And I'm like the worst. I'm always either like on my phone or doing something.
No, you're great.
So I really to like try to not do that. But I think exactly what the, what you were saying is carving out that intentional time and being friends, like hanging out.
Right. So you know? Important.
Best compliment I always gave Erica when we were dating. I was like, I feel like if it was just me and you in a room, empty room, and we were stuck in there, we'd have the best time ever. So
that's fire.
You're
that's,
awesome.
That's that, and you know, that's a signal to the single people. It's like,
yeah,
what are you really drawn to? Yeah. Is like companionship,
yeah,
friendship, and that's my concern. It, you know, like in this dating era, it's like it's so much of it is from the aesthetic and the image management. It's like none of that stuff matters.
Right. Yeah.
You know what really matters? Like someone with character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone that's really kind. Someone that's compatible.
Yeah.
Someone that you have chemistry with.
Yeah.
I think the chemistry is like the most, like one of the most important things.
Yes.
Like we actually get along.
Yeah.
We actually could like, let's get, go on a plane and go to New York and just have fun. And that's so important, that friendship. I want to talk about, we're going to get to two segments in just a moment. One brand new segment that you're going to love. And then we're going to get to this month's top five. But I want to ask this question before we do. So all relationships come to this place where you can sense something's broke here.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is broke. This is not working. Not the relationship is not working, but how we're operating.
Right.
You know, whether we're not fighting fair, we're not communicating effectively, we're not on the same schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of relationships kind of, I find they go well, they go well, they go well. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, we got to make some changes.
Yeah.
We got to make some adjustments for it to get healthy. Every time something has been broken in our marriage, we've just said, we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
We're going to fix it. We're going to hire this person. Mm-hmm. We're going to get rid of this person. we're going to change our schedule. We're going to not fly so much. We're going to change our weekly schedule. Mm-hmm. We're going to make the value to be home four nights a week, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
How do you tell? How can you tell when something is broken? What is a sign that you go, I know that things aren't working well in my relationship when I feel this or I sense that? Like, what are some signs? Erica, what do you think?
I think when I'm quick to get frustrated or like snappy, I always know the issue's not the issue if we're like bickering over random, like, this is always par for the course. Like, why did you go down that street?
Yes.
That fight is actually about that.
And I can't blame Waze. It's just you're mad at something.
That argument is actually just that I feel overwhelmed. We have a busy month and like we haven't sat down and talked about our schedule.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's, that's when I always know something's just not like, we're just, nothing is clicking. Nothing's on the same page. Yep. It always goes back to like a 30 minute conversation of clear. Like it's usually for me, it's when I don't feel like in control of our schedule. And if we're not on the same page about that.
Yep.
But that's always like, side effect, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it just reminds me of that old saying, like a family that doesn't huddle together will never score a touchdown together.
Yeah.
You think about it, like a football team, one of the things they're always doing is they're getting in a huddle and they're drawing up the same play.
Yeah.
So that when they go to attack and they execute, they can actually be effective and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Families are the same way. If you don't huddle together, you know, once a week, you don't huddle together every night, you're never going to be effective.
Yeah.
So what's actually slowing us down is not our ability. It's our lack of huddle.
Right.
Yeah. Our lack of connectivity, our lack of intimacy.
Yeah.
Intimacy creates such freedom.
Yeah.
And such power, such momentum. So yeah, you're right. That little, why'd you take
comments?
Vine? Yeah. You could have taken Rossmore.
Yeah.
Is a sign that we're not connected right now.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Rome, what do you think?
Yeah, I think kind of what Erica was saying is spot on with that. And I think it's like when the worst part of yourselves is your gut reaction is like, you know, when someone's bitter in a room or someone's like not right, they're not laughing. They're not like the worst part of that person. They're a good person. They're, you know, the best part of them, but when the worst part of them shows up, I think exposes that. And I think to me, and obviously this is the struggle, is like forecasting that, seeing that into the future, you know, what aren't we doing that we used to do, kind of thing. And I think for us it's a lot of taking something away, like what you were saying, like, you know, our world is getting so advanced. Relationships have never changed. They're the most old school type of thing. Like, they really are, like, need that conversation, need that talk. So for us, I think it's a lot of taking stuff out of our lives. Not so much that you add stuff, but a lot of it is stripping it down to back to, like, the basics of what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think, that's exposed when the worst part of your partner comes out and you're like, I know that's not me taking a ride on Vine.
You
know?
Yeah.
There's something else.
You can always tell when there's a little extra energy behind it.
Yeah.
That, which is just kind of like that sinking feeling, like, okay, do we want to talk now?
Yeah.
Or do you want to talk?
Oh my gosh, that's the worst feeling.
Yeah. Or do you want to wait till the kids go to bed?
Yeah.
I want to talk now.
Yeah. Drew, what about you? What do you guys do when you sense it? You know it. That something's broken here. You got to fix it.
Oh man, I think I just get cranky. I get tired and I get cranky. I think we always just know whenever we have decision fatigue, if we have things we need to, like, we got to do this, or we need to do the budget, or we got to do this. There's usually little things that we just, we need to clean up house here. We need to make a little tweak here. I think those are always the factors for us, is whenever you start dreading the little decisions and you start, we got to do this, we got to do this. Sometimes you just got to get your house in order.
Yep.
And you just got to, like, you know, find those little things. Maybe there's something here that's, you know, you're losing a little energy. I think coming back to that and just regrouping and communicating and talking, that's always our center point. Yeah.
Yep. It reminds me of that verse. It says, catch for us the little foxes.
Yeah.
So they don't spoil the vineyard. Mm-hmm. Catch for us the little, it's the little things. It's rarely this big, you know, bear that's at your front door that's going to pummel you. It's these little attitudes, schedule, little, and it's like that little thing. If I, you know, it's like when a carpet has that, you know, string starts coming up out of that carpet. If I don't nip that thing, it's gonna make a mess.
Yeah,
and I gotta catch that stuff early. I gotta catch that stuff quick because it's gonna save me.
Yeah,
right.
So good.
I always think, what is the motivation to resolve? What is the motivation to fix the broken things? It's that the cost is so great.
It's
going to end up costing you more than you ever wanted to pay. So it's just worth it to sit down. It's worth it to resolve. It's worth it to forgive. It's worth it to fix that thing and create that health again. There is no greater feeling than going to bed with your head on the pillow knowing there's harmony here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's unity here. Right. We're in a good place. It's just like, man, life is good. Doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. Yeah. It's just like, life is good.
Yeah.
You know? We're going to come back and we're going to keep talking about relationships, but we're going to go to two new segments right now. Okay, this brand new segment, I think you're going to like it. It's called Things We're Excited About. Things We're Excited About, our first guest for that is none other than Drew Smith. Man, I am excited. We have coming up our second EP.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
You are?
So excited. This is going to be such an exciting season for us, for our team. Really believe, like, these songs are going to be really special for our church and for people listening. I really just feel like God did something really special through these songs, and I'm really proud of it. I think it's going to be great.
Four new songs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Be Okay, you know, crushing the hat today. Repping all the way. Be Okay was fantastic, our first EP. And I think it's just exciting to put out more creativity, more art. You know, what's the satisfaction is not in what it does. The satisfaction is in creating,
right?
And knowing that you've been called to create for God,
right?
What do we expect out of these four songs? It's really kind of four different songs.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixtape a little bit,
right?
I think it's really unique to us. It's unique to Zoe. It's kind of a collection of the people in our house. It's very different stylistically. Some of the songs are in quite a bit of contrast musically, creatively. And I think it's just a reflection of the people that we have in our church. We have so many amazingly talented people, so many, you know, creative, just super gifted people.
Yeah.
That serve in our house are so involved and invested. It's just really cool because I think the word that comes to mind for me is just authentic. Yep. It's just natural. It's who we are.
Yep.
And that's what I'm most proud about. That's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm excited because I feel like when I hear it, it sounds like Zoe. You know, it does, whatever that sound is. It's only our second EP, so like we don't really like,
we don't know.
We haven't developed our sound all the way, but when I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like Zoe. It sounds like what I would expect from, you know, us.
Right.
I also really like the labor of love of the wrestle that we've done lyrically through scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, it always bothers me when I sing worship songs and I'm like, that's in the Bible, you know. I like singing stuff where I'm like, oh, I know that verse.
Yep,
I know that truth. I know that promise. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scripture in it,
right?
How did you guys land there with
it? It was really special. I mean, obviously, I mean, there's something powerful about scripture, obviously, and I think whenever we sing scripture, it just builds that conviction, that faith in us.
Yes.
You know, whenever you can see just a room flip when we're in a moment of worship and we're singing out scripture, we're singing out what we really believe, and we're standing in that conviction. You can just sense the faith rising up.
That's right.
And that's something we really, really wanted to make our center point.
That's correct.
All about is we're singing for our church and we're singing the Word of God.
Yep.
And some of my favorite, I mean, some of these songs just had, when we wrote one of the songs, All That Matters.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful,
beautiful song,
worship song that our church just loves. And it does so well in our church. I still have like the voice memo when we were writing it, and it's like a 45 minute, and we were just praying and we were talking and just talking about what this song meant to us. And there was one point where one of the girls was just reading straight scripture, verse after verse after verse after verse. And you could just, even listening to the voice memo, I think I played it for you. It's just so powerful. You can just feel the faith in the Holy Spirit just so evident in that moment. And it was just such a beautiful moment just to sense, even in the very beginning stages when we were writing and we were just talking about what it meant to us and what God has done for us and you know, on a very personal level and what it means for our church. It was just so powerful. And that's what I'm really excited about is, it's scripture. It's the Word of God.
Absolutely.
You know?
So powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's for every song that's coming out.
Yeah.
There's so much truth in it. Well, we're excited. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for leaning in to create something that people can listen to. I think I just saw, you know, for us is just, you know, we're just getting started in this worship thing. And I saw that BOK just hit 1.5 million Great. Streams for us in our little church plant. That is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
And I'm believing that these songs are going to touch places that, you know, maybe we never dreamt it would end up on somebody's playlist, and, you know, them being in the gym or whatever, that it'd be something crazy and got to use it. So things we are excited about 2019 fall. BOK. Yeah, right. Anything is possible. All right, we're coming into this month's top five, and I want to talk together about building a volunteer culture. Remember, our job as a leader is not to do the work, but to empower others on how to be a great leader. This is what Jesus was so good at. This is what the Bible has called us to do, and actually why there's a grace on our lives to lead. We're not the Lone Ranger. We're not to be heroes. We're not to build loyalty to ourselves. We're actually to take all the influence, all the grace, all the authority we have, and to give it away, dispense it, throw it away. It means give it to people. Of course, they've got to be trusted. They've got to be people that have proven themselves. But we've got to send people out so they can do the work. That is, and you can look it up, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So I'm going to give you five things when it comes to building a volunteer culture. Volunteer culture is so important if you're going to do anything successful in life. Here's the first one. Number one, my role is to raise leaders and build teams. I love this thought. My role, what is my ultimate role? My role is to raise up leaders and to build healthy, awesome, vibrant teams. Raising leaders, of course, we would know by the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go therefore in all the nations and make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a wholehearted, committed follower of the teachings and the teacher. So they're a follower of Jesus. I could also use the word disciple, take that out and use the word leader. Make leaders, make fishers of men. Is my goal, this is my role in life. My role is to just raise up as many leaders, disciple as many people as possible, and to somehow get them onto a team that they can flourish. Doesn't matter what team it is, as long as it fits their personality, their gifting, their grace. This is my whole lot in life, is just finding how can I raise them? How can I raise them up? And then how can I empower them to not just do it themselves, but to be a part of a team, be a part of a church so they can go out and do the work of the ministry. Number two, my responsibility. So the first one is role. And the second one is my responsibility. It's my responsibility to bring volunteers to the table to teach them how to follow Jesus and how to build church effectively. Again, we're talking about a volunteer culture, really talking to church leaders. And this is my responsibility. It's my responsibility to bring people to the table, to recruit them to be a part of this thing that we're doing. So I've got to teach them two things. Number one, my first role is to teach them how to follow Jesus. And then my second responsibility is to teach them how to build church effectively. Hey, this is when you need to show up. Hey, this is how you honor up, honor down, and honor all around. This is how you make church great. Church is not built on the gifts and the talents of a few. It's built off the sacrifice of many. So it's my responsibility. Somebody put this in me. Somebody taught me. Somebody raised me up. Now I have the responsibility to take all the good that I've got and give it away. I will not be successful if someone just invests into me, teaches me, mentors me, and it stays here. I will only be successful. And the biggest mandate or responsibility that I have is giving this stuff away. Now, of course, the Bible says, don't throw your pearls before swine. Really, don't waste your time on someone that is not hungry for it, someone's not humble, someone that's not leaning in. Come on, we're talking about leadership leaning. But when I do sense that and I do see that, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is not to get them to serve me. My responsibility is to serve them to the best of my ability and to empower them to first of all love Jesus, and to second of all get every cheat code, every great practice, everything I know about building church and instill it into them. And so they have a heart for the house like I do, and they know how to build church effectively. Number three, now it's my privilege. My privilege is to include as many people as I can. I love this thought. This is my privilege. So I go from my role is this, my responsibility, and then I just internalize it and I go, this is an honor. It is my privilege to pass on what's been passed to me. It is my privilege to go out and to do my best to raise up leaders. This is such a joy. The Bible says in Psalm 103, serve the Lord with gladness. Do all of this work with a joyful spirit. This is awesome. And not only do I get to do it, but I want to include as many people as I can. You know, the thing about a volunteer culture is you can't turn it on Sundays. You got to just include everyone that's around all the time. Just include. The other day, my wife, she traveled out of town. She went to Minnesota and she was preaching at a women's conference. Shout out to River Valley Church. And I was home with all four kids. Now you better believe that your boy did not just stay home with all four kids. But I got on my phone and I started including as many people as possible on that Friday night. And by the time the Friday night was in its height, we had tons of people in the house and kids watching Toy Story 4 and popcorn and treats. And, you know, we're watching outside the Dodger game and I'm just including because I can't turn on inclusion on Sunday. inclusion has to be a lifestyle. Jesus just grabs the 12 and then he's got 70 and then he's got a huge crowd on the mountain and he's inclusive by nature. If you want to be a great leader, you can't go alone. You got to include people in the process, include people along the way, and don't turn it on as a light switch. Just make it who you are. You're not exclusive. You're inclusive by nature. Number four, now it's my goal. My goal is to work as hard as I can Monday through Saturday to ensure that as many people are as involved as possible. So this is my goal. My goal is not to see what I can get. My goal is not about how much accolade or success or recognition I can get. My goal is to include, to empower, to release, to recruit as many people as possible. Now, again, people left Jesus all the time, by the way. One time he preaches on a mountain, half the crowd leaves. They're like, this guy's crazy. He looks at the guys, he goes, hey, do you guys want to leave too? So not everybody has to stay, and not everybody's going to want to do this. But my goal is to include. Hey, I know you look like you wouldn't be maybe a church person, but I see a call of God in your life. Hey, Zacchaeus, get down from the tree. God's doing something in you. Hey, guys, I know you're fishing right now for fish, but I can teach you how to be a fisher for men. By the way, God never made you one way to use you another way. The gifting and the grace and the temperament and the personality, the way that God made you is the way he wants to use you. So that's why Jesus can say the same tactic, that same work ethic, that same strategy used for fish, I'm going to teach you how to apply some of those same truths and principles. Now you're going to fish for men. My goal is to include anybody and everybody in a volunteer culture and to see their lives take off. So I've got a role. I've got a responsibility. This is my privilege. This is my goal. And the last one, number five, is my right is to give what I've decided in my heart. That's my right. My right is to give. The Bible says each man must give what he has purposed or decided in his heart. So listen, don't give away what you have to. Give away what you want to. I want all the treasure, all the truths, all the principles, all the stuff that I've learned, I want to give it away. I want to give it away in a podcast. I want to give it away in a leadership teaching. I want to give it away one-on-one. I want to give it away. Just, I felt like, what song was that? Give it away, give it away, give it away now. I want to give it away. This is my goal. This is my privilege. This is my responsibility. And this is my right. I have the right to withhold this, or I have the right to pour it out. I love the Apostle Paul. He says, I've been poured out like a drink offering. If you want to build a volunteer culture, you've got to pour out your life and pour out everything you've got into the people that are with you. We work hard for those that work hard for us. We give our best to the best. And the best are those that are volunteering their time. They're working at other occupation. They've got a full-time job and they're giving up 4 hours, 6 hours to build God's house. They're going to get our best. Top five. I love that. Volunteer culture. We love you. And we'll see you next month. All right. So we're talking about relationships. And I know that there's a number of people that are watching that are married. And I know that all of the thoughts on that type of relationship are so valuable. You guys have added so much. I want to include our single friends. Mm-hmm. Or the ones that are dating.
Yeah.
What are some signs that you would say to somebody, this is not a relationship that I would encourage you to be in? You're dating or you're interested in this type of person and it's not going to work out if this is who they are. Mm-hmm. And where they're at right now. Because I don't believe in like missionary dating.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah, that ain't it.
Like, but I hope he's a good guy.
Sure he is.
You know, you know, she doesn't mean it.
Like, yes, she does.
She does. You know, it's like.
She did it. She meant it.
I always think that, you know, you can't date potential.
Right.
You got to be with promise. That there's a promise here.
So good.
you know, and the difference between that really is going like, potentially they could be awesome, but since they're not right now, I'm going to let them develop into where it's like, man, there's the future's promising with this person. Yeah. What are some signs? Roman, let's start with you. What are some signs that you would go like, hey, I would really just say you got to steer clear.
Yeah.
If you're seeing this.
Yeah, I think like obviously character, drive, vision, all that stuff is very alignment with what you're doing, what you want to do. All that stuff is, I think, is a given. I think I was actually literally talking about this with someone in our Connect group the other night, but I think a big sign is the agreement of your friends and family.
Man,
I think because a person can be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell my personal story about this, but no, but those like, if you're like, hey, this is a girl that I want to date, blah, blah, blah. This should be an excitement. There should be such it's very obvious and it's very quick, a quick read.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long to realize, okay, my friends are excited. I remember one of my friends was dating a girl and no one had the guts to tell him that she wasn't the one. And I think that's like, because no one wants to be the person to like discourage someone from dating someone that they're really interested. But on the flip side, the person that's dating them, it should be really obvious that your friends and family, the people that know you the most, the people that know, like, you see the best in you, know that this person is not for you. So I think just 100%. Real quick, like, if you're dating someone, ask your friends. They're probably going to tell you, you know, you should date them, whatever.
I don't know. Have you ever had to have that conversation?
Yeah.
That is a real conversation.
Yeah.
It is it's a real sad thing when it backfires.
It's so awkward.
They actually get married.
Yeah, they actually get married. Like, it just really changes the relationship. Because guess what? The other person always finds out about your real opinions. Yeah, it always
you're like, my bad.
Yeah, it's just like,
but not really.
This is like, my bad.
You were different back then. You were different.
Yeah.
You're aligned now.
There's promise now.
We're excited now. The ring's on the finger.
Yeah, now we are.
Yeah, but I think that's just a big thing, just like the natural, like, quick reaction buzz, like people that you look up to, people that you include into your, like, that you allow to speak into your life. What's their gut? You can it's such a quick read. They're either excited, ecstatic, over the top, or they're not.
I think a couple things with it is like any big decision, which I would say a relationship is like one of the biggest decisions in your life.
So major.
The lid on your life usually has to do with who you've married.
So true.
And if you marry well, there is no lid.
Yep.
But if you marry poorly, there's a massive lid. I have seen bad marriages and marrying the wrong person take out some of the greatest people in the world.
Yeah.
And so it's usually not talent or lack thereof. It's usually just marrying poorly.
Yeah.
And always the common denominator there is no one gets to speak into the relationship.
Yeah.
When people get couple cult starts happening, I start going, it's all bad. It's all done because relationships are best lived out in community.
Yeah.
But I always know that it is the right relationship, is the right decision when my parents and my pastors are in agreement.
Yeah.
If my parents are not with this and my pastors are not with this, this is a dead giveaway that this is probably the wrong person. Another sign that I always think, and it's really interesting, this thought, because right now we live in such an era where mental health is such a real reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would say someone advised me before Julie and I got married, marry a Christian. It's a given, of course. It's like not even a decision for us. Like, duh. But this guy told me, don't just marry someone that loves God. Marry someone that loves life.
Mm. Yes.
If they don't have the joy of life, life is going to be hard for you.
Yeah.
I would say it's really hard for anybody to be in a relationship where the other person doesn't love life.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, wake up happy.
Right.
God is good.
Yeah.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's going to work out.
Yeah.
Like, I get mental health issues and it's a real hard, the thing about mental health is like no one chooses to have mental health. So they have such a compassion and such a grace that is such a sensitive thing to deal with.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to anyone. You know, my experience with people with mental health is like, and Julia's helped me understand this. She's like, hey, you know, you have to understand you wake up happy. Not everybody has that.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that ability. Yeah. Like you wake up and you're like, let's go. Yeah. And I'm like, Ariba, yes.
Yes.
Andale.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that.
Yeah.
So I would say be very, very slow and really take stock and inventory who you're dating, because you got to see,
yes,
does this person love life? Mm-hmm. Are my parents and my pastors with this?
Yeah.
Those are signs I go, there's a future here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Drew, what would you say? Where's some signs you go, I don't know if this is.
Well, I love what you guys were saying about you guys just recognize from the beginning, you guys were just best friends.
Yeah.
And I think really recognizing that and beyond the chemistry and beyond the honeymoon phase or whatever you want to say, I think whenever you really invest into that relationship and you really get to a little bit more intimate, knowing the person at a deeper level, I think you start to really realize the depths of your friendship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great what you were saying about, you know, do we bring life to each other?
Yeah.
Do we recognize that? And do we build each other up? Do we encourage each other? Do we have fun? You know, like I love what you were saying about that. That's great.
Yeah. And that's a sign you go like, oh, this is good, because it's like, it doesn't need to be physical. It doesn't need to, it's not dependent upon these things that in 2 years are not going to matter.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know, what really matters is the friendship.
Yeah.
Right. What really matters is the thing. That's why the Bible says charm is deceitful and beauty is passing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a woman that fears the Lord, that's a wife.
Yeah.
that's a one to pursue. Erica, what do you think?
I love this topic. If you have any like red flags or things that come up when you're dating a person, it won't change because you get married.
Yeah.
It only gets magnified.
Right.
Because when you're dating, it's a season of life.
Yep.
And there's a level of intimacy that you reach when you're dating that you will not reach until you're married.
That's right.
And so you find out more things about your spouse after you're married.
Yep.
And I think the greatest piece of advice I got when Roman and I were dating was someone told me, well, just don't play house. Mm. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean by that? And I remember her telling me like, well, you're not like his wife, you're his girlfriend in this season. So make sure like you make decisions as like an adult for yourself until you're ready to make decisions as a wife with a husband.
Smart.
And so I think sometimes we just get really accelerated in relationships, and we out of maybe loneliness or out of liking attention, we make ourselves think that that person is promise.
Yep.
When in actuality they're potential.
Wow.
So if you know, I we have an amazing shameless plug leadership college, and we have so many amazing girls that are like driven, great leaders, ready to go. And I always tell them like, you gotta find when you're dating someone, you can't be dragging someone along, and vice versa. If you're a guy dating a girl, like if you drag them along when you're dating, you're gonna drag them along when you're married.
Wow.
And you need somebody that can just kind of like catch up with you on the race that you're running.
Yep.
And not like people that you're waiting to catch up with you on the way.
Well, there you go.
You know, so
I always think that that's exactly how it should go, right? Like my head is down.
Yeah.
Just I'm serving God.
Do your thing.
I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
And I should one day just kind of look up and go, wow, you know who's right next to me doing the same thing?
Yeah.
It cannot be. I'm loving, serving, giving, working on my character, and so-and-so's back here, but man, I'm gonna come back and
but I'm bored.
You know, it's like whole thing, like it's always easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone out. There's a tension within that.
Yeah.
And the tension within that, I'll never forget, my dad told me one time years ago, my brother was still in high school. I was in Bible college, and I came home and my brother had this girlfriend, and she was, you know, she had a lot of issues, a lot of background stuff. I remember saying something like a remark to my dad about this girl that my brother was dating, kind of like, you know, she's got issues, you know, da 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 da. And my dad kind of got after me a bit. And he was like, well, you know, when your mom found me, I was a mess.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
And then we had this other couple that was over, and he said, you know, and I forget their names. When she found him, he was a mess. But your mom took a risk on me. And she took a risk on him. So I always think there's a tension within that.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's like so-and-so could be broken. We're all broken. But if I can see that they're leaning in to serve, leaning in to grow, there's not like insubordination and I don't want, you know, blah, 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 that whole thing. It's like, I can't work with that.
No.
But there's something about humility and a brokenness and an authenticity that brings trust and goes, you could see this person's going to grow pretty fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's all because of the spirit of who they are. I love talking about relationships, and there's so many little nuances and and tricks to it. And, you know, I think so much of life and leadership is just trying to find cheat codes. Just give me your best practice. Like, you were using the example of highs and lows. We do it every night at dinner, you know, and I'm just always just trying to go like, give me your cheat code. Give me your cheat code. Give me, you get around people like a Levi Lusco, lives so deliberately. I go, I know you got cheat codes. And in getting around leadership, I think that's why we're talking about leadership in this subject, is because hopefully out of this conversation, a couple of people go, I took that reality. I took that truth. I took that promise. I'm doing what they did. And just talking about it makes us get better. This conversation right now makes me a better husband. It really does. It makes me so more intentional, and inspires me to go home. And I might need to buy flowers on the way home.
It's great.
I might need to go home and make some fresh guac.
You got to do it.
The key.
Be a chef.
The key to my wife's heart is through guacamole.
Funny. Yeah. Yeah.
I might need to go home and vacuum everything.
Hey.
And she would just
That's great.
She would go, wow, what's gotten into you?
That is equivalent to flowers.
And I just look her in the eyes and go, I'm in love with you.
She's like, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you so much.
Is that so sincere? She's so sweet. She's like,
I love her.
Thanks for talking to me.
Best person ever.
This is so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a fun conversation.
Come on. Yeah.
First time. First time.
Your first time.
First time.
Not your last.
Hey. I passed the test.
Like, what am I, a prophet? Okay. We love you guys. Leadership Lean In. We'll see you next month.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.